This is ESPN 1000, Chicago's home for sports. From State Street and the First Midwest Bank Studio, this is Carmen and Yurko, WMVP Chicago. Did you miss some Carmen and Yurko? You don't have to miss anything. Podcasts are ready on the ESPN Chicago app.
Carmen and Yurko on ESPN 1000, Chicago's home for sports.
Boom, 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 boom.
Thank you to our guests today, Dan Weider from The Trib, Darnell Mayberry from The Athletic talking about the Bulls. Thanks to Randy Merkin and Chris Black. Job well done. It's time for Crosstalk. Yurk, go ahead, read that.
I got it, baby.
I know you do.
Crosstalk is brought to you by Alpamonte Buick GMC.
That's right, baby.
Shop online at apbuickgmc.com or come visit in person at 364 West Grand Avenue in Elmhurst.
Elmhurst, Bensonville.
There you go, Tommy. Give that to Randy.
All right.
Put that in your pipe and smoke it, Merkin.
Randy, have you ever smoked a pipe?
Oh, I think he has.
No? This weekend for the big day.
I haven't.
I've smoked a pipe.
Who's bringing the hash pipe is what I need.
I'm talking about an old school, old guy pipe.
A tobacco with cherry flavor tobacco in it. Rice. I've done that.
If you do very good in a half pipe, does that mean you smoked a pipe too?
You know, I had a pipe for a little while. No joke. That doesn't surprise you, does it?
No.
I had a pipe.
Under your bed?
No.
No.
It's a nice pipe. It's a nice
luxury. Sitting by a fireplace,
smoking a pipe, drinking.
Like, I think I smoked a pipe when I was like 16, 17 years old, and guess what?
Nice glass of Armagnac and a pipe. You feel like you're important in the world.
Armagnac. You feel like an idiot, don't you? At that point, as you're 17 years old.
Next time we go to the Clayton, I'm going to bring a pipe.
Didn't Popeye smoke a pipe?
Yes, he did.
We were kids. We used to have like a
corn cob pipe.
Yeah, with the bubbles that would come out of that.
And a button nose.
Yeah.
I mean, it wasn't the best way to teach us. And then the gum cigarettes.
Remember that? Oh, yeah.
And then they had cigarettes. They marketed to kids.
And then
it powdered sugar. So if you blew on the cigarette.
I want a candy vape device now. Yeah, that's what I want today. A candy vape device.
Chesterfield.
Yeah.
Chesterfield. I mean, really, what a marketing tool that was. Put these in the candy stores.
Yeah.
Start them young.
I mean, really, yeah.
Hey, look at this, Mom. I'm smoking a cigarette. No, I'm chewing gum. No, I'm not. I'm smoking a cigarette.
Unbelievable. What do you guys make a Nagy and Pace today? What do you think? Like, is it all just mostly lip service? Yeah, Nagy was a little bit more in-depth and a little bit more.
He always says.
Right, he is, yeah.
I think you got everyone, I believe, is thinking that Ryan Pace is just telling you what you want to hear and then has got this fabulous plan he's going to unveil at some point before the regular season. I think this is who he is and what he likes. He believes in Mitch. Mitch is his guy. I don't know if the coach believes in him the way the GM does.
It doesn't seem like they're on the same page, right?
Yeah. I mean, like, the coach said some things. I mean, he could not talk more glowingly about his new staff.
Yeah,
he loves his new staff.
No hesitation when he talked about every coach.
Yeah.
Then all of a sudden, as Waddle calls it, word salad when it came to Mitch.
Yeah.
Where he's having the tough time finding the words or the phrases.
Right.
And he would start a sentence and then end the sentence mid-thought and start a new sentence.
Yeah.
And it's almost like he's unsure of what to say about him.
I think you're right. I think the last soundbite we played, it starts in one place and it ends somewhere very different.
I think he realizes that he can't be overly critical of it because if he hears it, he'll be sitting in wherever he's at and he'll be stewing and maybe crying and maybe going to get his baby towel that should chew on it. That's what I believe.
But I believe he's emotionally fragile.
Where is that?
Every time I watch him, he looks like he's ready to cry. He's got like imminent cry face.
Mitch or Ryan? I don't get that. Imminent cry face.
I've heard everything. I've heard jerk face.
Mitch doesn't have a jerk face.
I'm saying he's got an imminent cry face.
When things get difficult, it looks like he's going to start shedding tears. That's what I see.
You said shedding. Right?
Shedding, yes.
I thought he said that too. I'm like, whoa.
No, we were doing that.
Shedding.
Shedding.
I think you're a little hard on him when you go down that road. I don't think Mitch is going to cry.
You can think I'm hard on him. That's fine. I'll accept that. I'm tough on a quarterback. That's fine.
Well, we're tough on him, too. He's not
most
very good.
Position.
We've pointed that out.
Yes, he's not good.
I think
he's emotionally fragile.
A lot of people's philosophy is what Yurko is, that Ryan Pace is saying this stuff to protect Mitch's psyche.
Because he's that fragile?
But Waddle believes this is not a protection of his psyche, that this is truly what Ryan Pace believes, that he believes he's still the absolute answer. Right, Waddle?
Yes. Isn't that what you... No question. He gave up draft picks to move up and get him.
So he has to still be married to him.
Yes, he's thinking that he's still young. He's in his third year. Guys blossom as they get older and they have more reps. I don't believe that Ryan Pace is selling you a story. I think Ryan Pace is being an open book about his quarterback. Yes, you'll know when when he's selling you. He hides. He doesn't tell you where he's. You know, listen, when he picked Mitch, he didn't tell anybody. He's at the Sun Bowl in a disguise. He's telling
He's
sitting in front of you, telling you that he believes. Why don't you believe that he believes in his guy? What would he be accomplishing if he didn't believe in him? Or if he was telling you differently? I think he truly believes in his guy.
Yeah, well, when you invest so much in someone, you want to be right. And maybe that's clouding his judgment a little bit. You know,
he's not, Ryan Pace isn't saying, listen, directly. I know he huffed and puffed around the competition thing, but he's telling you flat out, Mitch is our quarterback. And it's like, I asked, why are you resisting believing him? What is it about
it
that,
really.
You know, I mean, it just in
so
general.
So you do believe Ryan Pace, so you think this is the way he feels too, Carm?
Yeah, I kind of do. And when he talks about, you know, what we look for in quarterbacks, he might just not know what to look for in a quarterback. I mean, the quarterbacks he's liked are Mitch Trubisky, Marcus Mariota,
and
Mike Glennon. It's like, it's a bad sign, boys. I mean, like.
Let me read you a quote from Matt Nagy today, okay, which gives me more hope, because my hope this year with the coach is that the coach has self-scouted in this downtime and he realizes the things he has done poorly, will look at the things he's done well, and he will adjust as a young head coach. It's not fair to force players into something that I do. This is a clean slate. We want to make sure we give everybody the best opportunity. What does that tell you? That tells me he feels he has, and again, maybe I'm just reading into something I shouldn't, but he's telling you now that he's going to have to adapt his system to get the most out of his quarterback, as opposed to forcing his quarterback to play in his system.
That's what Yurko was saying, that it's not position A for the coach.
Correct.
It might be where Matt Nagy's going to have to do his best work this year.
No doubt.
You know?
That's why I'm saying, like, I think last year he was stubborn to a fault. And asking Mitch to run his system when Mitch couldn't run his system.
Yeah.
Well, is Mitch the starter on opening day? And is there a promise? Like, what if Mitch isn't looking good again in Bourbonnais? And we get, or not in Bourbonnais now in Lake Forest. What if we get the reports from JD and Weederer again?
Guys, the hive's going to come out, so it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter.
I mean, the people who chose to ignore that last year missed it.
Yes.
Because it continues.
Because it matters.
And what if, I've heard through someone that the people upstairs at Halas want them playing in the preseason this year.
Oh,
that's a message I've been getting. So what if Mitch plays in the preseason and it isn't good? How long does this promise go that he's the starter?
I think the answer to your question is who is on the team? Who is the other quarterback? If it's Cam Newton starting. If it's...
Newton's not coming here to be a backup to Mitch Trubisky.
Where's the line of guys?
Dalton could start out as a backup.
Okay,
that's who.
So then, if Dalton is having a better camp
and
he has a better preseason, and then all of a sudden, do you still let Mitch start opening day?
My prediction is yes, and Tannehill or Dalton takes over after Mitch has failed after a month.
So that's the plan.
That's what I feel.
Mitch into Dalton.
I don't know what it is.
Who's the kid that played in Washington?
Alex
Smith.
No.
Keenum.
If Case Keenum's their hire, or if Marcus Mariota's their hire, Mariota, those guys are backups. And Mitch will be given a certain amount of leeway, I think,
I kind of lean with Waddle on this one. I think so. I think they give him a few weeks, no matter how bad the preseason is. I bet you Ryan pushes to at least give him the start of the season. And then Nagy at some point is going to have to go in there and say, If it's bad,
can't win with him.
He's going to have to say, Ryan, you got to let me do
this. So what's worse? Is it worse that Ryan Pace still believes in him and isn't trusting his eyes? Or, you know what I mean? Like,
I don't know.
Listen, this is what I said to you guys yesterday. Think about this. Consume this. Two of his last three first-round picks, guys that are going into their fourth and fifth years respectively, are Mitchell Trubisky and Leonard Floyd. And he is selling you on glimpses on guys.
Right.
Not that your body of work has been outstanding. We have seen glimpses of
guys that have
goodness.
Played 40, 50 games in this league.
That's my point. 40, you've got a quarterback going into his fourth year and an outside linebacker, a pass rusher who's going into his fifth year. And one's going to make $13 million, the other's going to make $10 million, and you're asking the question whether or not he should be replaced. And the sales pitch to you guys,
yes,
us,
yeah, to all of us,
is we've seen flashes.
Right. That's not good.
You going to buy? What are you purchasing on flashes? Isn't that a skeptical purchase if somebody's trying to sell you that?
I'm not buying much.
Well, what's worse, if Ryan Pace is being stubborn because he wants to be right with his guy, or if he still truly believes that he's going to be great? What's the worst big picture thing for your general manager? Like, does he truly believe he's going to be great, or is he being extra stubborn because he's his guy?
I think he wants to be right.
What's worse is
he thinks he can still play.
Yeah, that would be worse. Yeah. That would be worse.
No doubt.
Right. Yes.
If the worst is he thinks he's still to play.
If he's looking
then you
at
can't
him,
identify.
Right. Then it means you can't identify.
Now you got a real problem. That's a real problem.
That would be my question.
Yes. Good question.
Now, listen, with what Matt Nagy has been quoted saying, maybe he puts Mitch in a better position to take advantage of what Mitch does well. Maybe they have more success because the coach is no longer trying to fit the quarterback into his system, yet he's trying to fit the system around his quarterback.
Did you hear what he said about Montgomery, Pace? Pace sort of, maybe this is like a backhanded thing at Nagy, saying David Montgomery is going to be more of a premier back this year and more of a running back one. He was almost saying he wasn't utilized
the right way.
And another draft pick of his that he is going to stick with.
Well, not that you shouldn't.
Yeah, I do too. I do too.
That's how you should use your running backs. Draft them, use them up, move on. All right, boys, what's on the show?
So, yeah, we're going to play you all these sound bites that we were talking about, and we're going to try and unlock the Bears puzzle.
Good luck.
And like the Bears are trying to unlock Mitchell Trubisky. Mm-hmm. And if these coaching changes will do it, catering around Mitch will do it, or are we just kicking the can down the road where ultimately we're going to be where we think we're going to be, looking for another guy?
Yeah.
And are they looking for another guy now? Are they truly looking to upgrade the room and then draft a guy? So we'll discuss all that. Today's a pretty big Bears day.
Yeah.
We'll have fun with Waddle's World. Don't forget, get your Would You Rathers in. Hashtag it WS Would You Rather. We always have fun with that. At 4:30, the winner will get some booze from Grand and Western Liquors. Trey Wingo's going to join us. Will there be progress on the NFL negotiating with the CBA?
Right.
Will they adopt the 17-week schedule, the 17-game schedule?
There you go.
Gotcha. So, all right, boys. Greatest bowl of all time.
Yeah, are we down to...
We are... What number is this? Eight or nine?
Number nine.
Number nine.
I think people are going to think this is at 250. Some people will think I've got this guy too high. I've admittedly put this guy very high in the grand scheme of the franchise because I'm biased. I'm admittedly biased.
Tony.
Tony was just revealed.
Was he last week? He was 10 or 11.
Yes.
Tony was 10?
He was 9, I believe.
Oh, he was not?
No, he just said 9 today.
Today's 8. Tony was 9.
Tony was 9, and I think Horace Grant was before him
at
10. He
was. I remember seeing Horace at 10.
So today's 8. You tell me. Don't guess.
All right.
Just to yourself and then listen
to
250.
All right. See you, boys. Waddle and Sylvia get you home next. We'll see you tomorrow.
What is your name, please?
Waddle and Sylvie.
Follow us on the gram at Waddle and Sylvie and at ESPN_Chicago. This is ESPN 1000.
Chicago's home for sports.
Going on with our Bears as they're at their combine. This is step one.
Feels kind of good, doesn't it?
Doesn't it feel good?
It feels like football's back.
Yeah, it is. Well, I don't know if football ever goes away, but our Bears were tucked away for a while.
Well, especially with no postseason.
Yes. It's step one to improving. You know, evaluating the college guys at the combine.
Staying stubborn with your evaluation of your own signal caller.
Yeah. And like,
selling hopes and dreams.
We'll play you all this. And Pace did again, as Waddle puts it, doubled down. He doubled down on his love for Mitch.
In all honesty, who's a, is anyone surprised of that? Like, am I the only one that thinks that that Ryan is the full truth teller?
No, I don't think we're. I think the reasoning is the rationale would be the reason for the difference of debate. So let's break this down before we play it. Why would Ryan? I believe there are different levels of why people believe Ryan Pace would go to bat for Mitch. One is what you say, that he truly believes in him. Doesn't matter. He still sees the guy he fell in love with at North Carolina. Not everybody's growth is on the same level.
Not ready to give up on him.
And he's not ready to give up. He still believes.
Yes.
And he, so there's that. There's the camp that says, why would Ryan Pace tell you anything? Because he doesn't want to give you any information on who they're after. Why would he say, what benefit does it do if Ryan Pace says, yes, we're looking at all quarterback options and we'll let a competition ensue? Like Cap says, it's the actions, not the conversations that matter. Don't judge him on what he says. Judge him on what he does. And then there's the other level of what Yurko said. There are people who believe that they don't want to upset Mitch, that they're trying to protect Mitch.
But you only protect him if you only believe in him. Why else would you matter? Why would it matter if you upset Mitch if you don't believe in him?
That's a fair question, too. Why would you?
Here's what I don't understand.
Just in case he grows? Like, you don't still really believe in him to the level, but there aren't any better options out there, so you want to do everything where the wind's at his back and not in his face. What were you saying, Abdallah?
We all know Ryan Pace tripled down on Trubisky. He split tens like four times.
Today was a triple down?
Today was a, well, because the double down was before.
But you don't have an ace. What are you splitting here?
You're splitting tens. Ace, right? You're splitting tens like a crazy person.
Yeah. Okay, that is really literal because he's number 10.
Yeah, there
you're
you go.
You're splitting 10s.
You're splitting 10s like a crazy person. But then in the same day, you've got Mike Mayock.
Wait. You want to split 10s.
So that's what I think. Yes.
Yes.
No. I split 10s when I play blackjack. I'm with Mellor. You've got two opportunities.
Chances.
That's youth in there. That's youth in there.
I always split 10s.
I'm taking my chances with 10s. I'm not a good blackjack player.
I ask the table first. I'm like, do you guys care? Because this is going to mess up the cards for everybody.
This is a good poll question.
Do you care if I split 10s?
I was taught at a young age in Iowa.
It's a guarantee 20, right?
I was in Northern Iowa. Right. I was in Northwest Iowa, and this older math teacher who was a coach who I used to go to some of the casinos with in southern Minnesota. And he used to say, if you had a 20-inch, would you cut it in half? That was the thing. And the answer is no. You'd be proud.
I don't think it's
be
the same
proud
game
of
you're
your,
playing.
Yeah.
Be
right.
proud of your
but
20.
What if you could take the 20 and turn it to 40? That's, I think, was what the guys behind the glass are talking about.
Yeah, I don't know what kind of weird game you're playing.
Yeah,
with
but
you're guaranteed
if you
could, to have 20.
But you could have 40.
You could also get 14, 14, 12, 13.
Got to spend money to make money, Sylvie.
So what's your philosophy? Your philosophy
I'm going to sit and take my chances with 20.
Yes.
I'm not splitting 10.
Did you come to gamble, or do you just want to go home and
This is in direct conflict to me gambling on a soccer parlay that I don't know either team any of the four teams involved.
You're rooting for the red team to win.
I just tweeted it out at Adam
Abdallah. Like
do you ever split 10s in blackjack?
Do you ever
split tens in blackjack?
Maybe you're drunk one day and you say, you know what? What the hell? Today I feel like gambling. But I'm saying like consistently.
Oh, you want it, should you?
Yeah.
I'll change it. Nope, delete it.
Are we counting cards? Do we know if the paint's in our favor? Because if it is, let's split those tens.
I was in Vegas. I split tens. Even the dealer was like, what are you doing? Why are you doing this? I go, oh, I split them. Guess what? I got two more tens. So
Boom!
Guess what? I'm going to do it again. I split them both again. And I hit a 21, a 21, an 18, and I busted another one. But that's 3 out of 4. That's not bad.
Yeah,
that's
good. What are the odds? Give me a mathematician that will actually be able to tell you within a small degree of being correct that the likelihood of that happening. I don't know. Listen, I'm going to take the sure thing. Maybe that's age. I'm 53. You guys are 12. maybe, you know, you're willing to gamble on splitting 10s. I'm not. I'm going to try to take the sure thing.
312-332-3776. Do you split 10s?
My point is this.
Can I go back to this really quick? It's a bad comp, too, because when you usually have 20, you usually have a win.
Right.
So, like, I don't think we have a 20 right now
No, we don't.
Do you know how many times I've had 20?
I think we have a 15 in the dealer showing 20.
Do you know how many times I've had 20 and the dealer's gotten 21? Do you know how many times that has happened? Okay, my point of this was all this. Earlier today, when Mike Mayock was meeting the media, the GM of the Raiders, they have Derek Carr, who everybody has been associating kind of with the Bears somewhat,
right,
said this. Derek Carr played at a high level. I'm very happy with Derek Carr.
Let's let Mike Mayock say it for himself.
Oh, okay, he can say it for himself. Oh, okay, I didn't know that.
Mike,
Mike, please.
Bottom line is this. I think everybody needs to understand at what level Derek Carr played last year, okay? The guy completed 70% of his passes. He had almost a 3-to-1 touchdown interception ratio. We did a lot of really good things on offense last year. The disconnect was we didn't score a lot of points. It's defense, it's special teams, it's not scoring in the red zone, and it's not scoring in goal to goal. Okay, so to me, those are the issues. Derek Carr played at a high level. I'm very happy with Derek Carr. What I've told everybody I've been in touch with since the day I took this job is we're going to evaluate every position every year. And if we can get better, we will. And guys get tired of me saying that, but that's really what I told Mark Davis before I took the job, and that's my mantra.
And to anybody would say, well, what is Ryan Pace supposed to say? I give you Mike Mayock,
right,
or I'll give you Chris Ballard from Indianapolis, who had a comparable statement about his quarterback situation for the Colts.
So that's why you come to the conclusion that he says it, because he totally believes it.
I believe that, yes. Now, I mean, look, do the other explanations make some sense? Yes. I think you could make a case for, you know, the other avenues. But I have never wavered on my thought that Ryan Pace believes in him. Ryan Pace is going to go back and tell you to look at his 2018 season. Look at the last drive of the playoff game. And if not for a Cody Parkey double doink, we're going on in the postseason. And all of that's because of Mitch and what he did. He took a step back last year. But that doesn't mean his career's over, especially with the Bears. We believe in Mitch. That's how I feel the GM feels about him.
Yeah, it's interesting. And then we'll play you all this, but why would he be so ready to say, Mitch is our starter, but I'm not going to tell you anything for picking up his fifth year that needs to be instituted by May? What comes first, May or the first game of the season? May, right? I mean, so isn't that, like, why are you making a decision for September before a decision that happens in May?
Think about all these games they're going to play between March and April before May gets here, where they'll have a chance to evaluate Mitch.
Right.
I don't think they're interested in giving you any insight into it. I don't think it's symbolic of anything.
You don't? It's no rhyme or reason. I'll play you some of these clips here in a minute. Mike's in Lockport. Hey, Mike.
Hey, guys. The only time you split tens in a blackjack table is if the table's full and your buddy needs a seat.
To get some guys out of there.
That's exactly right. Or if you got the dealer one-on-one.
There you go. See, Mike says no way, no how.
Well, I agree with him because I'm not doing it when I'm at a table and I don't know everybody. Like, I'm not going to be that guy. But if I know everybody at the table and be like, hey, guys, I'm about to win some money for all of us. It's going to be great.
Chris and Gurney. Hey, Chris.
Hey, how you doing?
We're good.
It's called basic strategy. They make a little card that you see sometimes these people have at the table, and it gives you it's a mathematical advantage that you don't do that. You know, the outfielder who said that the Houston Astros need a beating? If someone splits tens at your table, they also need a beating.
Well said, Chris. Listen,
Chris Markakis here.
I would ask everybody that believes in analytics, what would the analytics of that play say?
It's gambling. The analytics tell you shouldn't gamble because you're going to lose.
Possible. Right. I'm not going to Vegas to lose. I'm going to win.
But
and somebody
uses if I have a 10, if I start a 10, the odds are that I could get a 17 or I could get an 18 or I could build my way to 21. With I have two chances to do that.
I think this one's going
to
be
every single guy over there needs a beating.
I think this is going to be in like an 84-16 split in terms of
is would
young
you
guys
ever,
versus yeah. old
but that's
guys.
Fine. I know yeah. I'm in the wrong. I'm still going to do it. It's just called like, gambling.
So you like rolling the dice yes, while you're playing blackjack.
Absolutely.
All right. 312-332-3776. We will play you what Ryan Pace had to say today about Mitch.
Mitch is my quarterback.
Is he saying this because he truly still believes in Mitch? Is he saying it to protect Mitch's psyche? Is he saying it because this is all he has to say until he makes another move? And Mitch is the only guy on the roster. All that coming up next.
Waddle and Sylvie.
Podcasts are ready on the all-new ESPN Chicago app.
ESPN 1000. Chicago's home for sports.
All right, Ryan Pace, Matt Nagy speaking today at the Combine in Indy. Somehow that got us talking about blackjack and splitting tens, and tens the apropos number with Mitch Trubisky in the conversation. Let me play you some Ryan Pace here. He was asked, what are the factors you're taking into account for a decision on Mitch?
Everything's internal as we think through that process and as this whole thing comes together. And again, we'll make that decision in May.
What? So that was for the May decision, right? Which one, Meller, is like the main one about their stance on Mitch as their starting quarterback?
I believe it's this one, Sylvie.
We believe in the player. We believe in the person. We believe in the trajectory that he's on. We believe we need to be better around him, you know, and that's what this time of year is all about, you know, and that's through things we're doing with coaches, things we're doing with scheme, things we're doing with personnel we're adding, and then his growth as a young player. They all grow at different rates, and it's just projecting his growth.
So there you go. There he's still, and this is your logic, that what Ryan Pace is giving you is Ryan Pace with a lie detector test, and it checking out absolutely
what is
he's
Ryan,
telling the truth.
Ryan's going to tell you the following. Like, yeah, last year wasn't very good, but he just told you, we need to get better in a lot of areas. Our offensive line wasn't good. Our running game wasn't very good. We had no tight end. You know, we made some odd decisions with regard to the play calling at times. He didn't say that. I just said that. Go back and look at Mitch from 2018. We thought Mitch had a really fine second season in the league, his first year in Matt Nagy's system. This is going to be year three. Mitch is going to look, I think he believes Mitch is going to make progress.
Here he was asked, are you open to letting somebody compete with Mitch for the starting quarterback job?
I think that's what throughout our team, that's what we want. You know, everybody's fighting for starting jobs, and that's what we want to create.
That statement, he can't. If he says, no, the job is Mitch's, what does that message send to everybody else? He's not going to tell you that, and he doesn't need to tell you right away what he's thinking about picking up the option. They're picking up his fifth-year option.
To be clear, yes, it is. We believe in Mitch. You know, Mitch knows he needs to be better. We need to be better around him, and that's our goal.
Here's Ryan Pace saying, what does Mitch need to do this offseason to get where he thinks he's going to be?
I think, you know, every quarterback is growing in different areas. And, you know, a big growth for a quarterback is what you're talking about. The understanding coverages, mastering your offense, being comfortable with all the new things coordinators are throwing at you. You know, I reflect back. I remember with Drew, he went through that in 2004 in San Diego, just immersed himself in that. And I think that's Mitch's mindset right now, just being obsessed with learning NFL defenses, mastering our offense. And when you do those things, allows you to play faster and with better instincts.
Right, with Mitch, you've stated your belief in him as the starter for this season, but do you want him to feel that belief, or do you want him to feel the pressure of competition potentially coming in?
I think, you know, it's for us, with every player, it's a combination of everything. You know, like we believe in him, we're going to support him, we're going to be better around him, but I think competition brings out the best in everybody.
Listen, I may be the most wrong guy on the face of the planet. Maybe they make a trade for Derek Carr. Maybe they sign Phillip Rivers.
Maybe they sign Tom Brady.
Cam, I don't expect any of that. My expectation is what you hear from Ryan Pace is not phony baloney. He believes in his quarterback. He moved up to draft him, and they're not ready to give up on him.
Sean's in Crown Point. Hey, Sean, you're on ESPN 1000.
Hey, how's it going?
We're good.
First of all, I love the show. Listen to you every day, and we'll drive home. Make it a lot easier.
Thank you.
So, it's obviously protecting Mitch. They said all last year, his confidence. So, how do you keep his confidence up throughout the offseason? You just tell him, he's our guy, we're not bringing anyone in. blah, blah, blah. It's to protect Mitch. And I like Mitch. I think he can be good if he is competent. So I think it might work. I'll hang up and let you guys talk.
I just don't. I said this at the break, Sean. I don't know what you're accomplishing by protecting Mitch's feelings. He's in his fourth year. You either believe in him or you don't. You either are going to go to the gate with him or not. Why do you worry about his feelings? If you're stuck with him? Well, if you're stuck with him and you don't believe in him, you know, I think you got some bigger issues.
Is it concerning? Should we read into it? Wasn't just Ryan Pace who talked about Mitch really needing to immerse himself in the playbook and film. It was Matt Nagy as well. I mean,
you have that to play.
Let me find it here. But everybody, all we've heard about is how hard a worker Mitch is, right? Like,
why isn't it coming quicker?
Why does he need to immerse himself in film at this point? It seems like that's this year.
At this point, all of that stuff should come to him naturally. Reading a defense, going through progressions, setting your protection with your offensive line, all of that stuff.
Here's Matt Nagy talking about it.
At the end of the exit interviews that we had with those guys, I mean, I meet with every single player and every single coach. And, you get some valuable time with them and spend some time with Mitchell and him understanding us, basically just talking through what he needs to do here in that time that we're not allowed to be together. And the one thing that he is able to do is get onto the film on his own and really hammer through what he's looking at. Now, I think that for him, the processing part is what you have to get to a point to where you're so obsessed that no matter what you're doing, you're always watching film. I mean, we're at a point now where, hey, in these next several months before they get back in here, April 20th or whenever that is, he's a complete expert at knowing he needs to know it better than me. And I think that's the goal. And he'll tell you that wasn't the case last year. That's not a slight on him. He's in year two of it. But I want him to make sure that that's where he gets to in the future.
Is he saying that he wasn't watching enough film, or is he simply saying what we think, that the process word, that he, when he could be in the playbook all he wants, but that natural reaction of processing the defense and boom, making the right decision, it doesn't click with him.
I'd be shocked if this was Mitch not looking at film or looking at enough film or putting the work in, because everybody you talk to says he's a tireless worker, ultimate teammates, good leader. Some guys see things develop better than others. Some guys don't. If you listen to the scouting report or read the scouting report on Joe Burrow, he can pick things up quickly. He processes things quickly. He reads defenses quickly, low to high, high to low. He just understands the position. Now, I don't know how Joe Burrow will be as a quarterback in the NFL. I think he'll be good, but that's the scouting report on him. The coach of our team is basically telling you indirectly that our guy's still trying to master that. Listen, it's not comforting.
No, I know.
I mean, it's not, but I would also go back. Listen, part of my two things ring with me. One is I think that the GM is, his legacy's tied to the quarterback and he still believes in the quarterback. Second thing is you're handcuffed. There's not much you can do. You released a couple of guys to create some space, but if you spend all of that money on Andy Dalton or Teddy Bridgewater or in a trade for David or Derek Carr, how are you going to fix your line? How are you going to fix your other receiver? What are you going to do with your tight end position? How are you going to fill in some of the holes on the defense? I mean, there's a lot there that
Here's
they
what
need
we
to address.
Do. We need to do a pool between the four of us. Well, I'll put in $20, $25 in the pool, $100 to win. We will do a fantasy quarterback draft with the guy that you think the Bears are going to get. And whoever nails the guy that the Bears will go round and round until all the quarterbacks are gone. You know, Brady may be one of the last guys picked because no one really believes he's going to come here. But this is like the biggest crop of quarterbacks.
It's like crop, right?
Crop, yeah. And let's see who gets it. You want to wager that way?
I bet on
You're
anything.
Wagering on soccer.
Right, yeah, I got no problem wagering.
Can I split two quarterbacks?
Ed and Lyle wanted to go after you on that. Ed, you're on ESPN 1000.
Hey, guys. Thanks for having me. The thing is I went to Vegas for the first time as like a 24, 25-year-old. So I was a conservative player blackjack-wise. I bought a guy's book named John Patrick. His whole thing is minimizing losses. The one thing I learned that stays with me to this day, the average winning hand in blackjack is 18.5. So if you split two 10s, and you get two eights, you're decreasing your chances of winning. The whole thing is to, you know, you don't want to add light bulbs to Vegas. You want to take some of that money home. So splitting tens is completely ridiculous. I don't know about bodily harm a dollar, but a stern talking to would be worse.
I think the analytics came into play.
And I appreciate analytics. And you know what I don't go to Vegas to do is
math.
Is to read. I go there to cash checks.
The house has a big enough advantage. You guys, I mean, I've had friends. I had to leave the table because they were playing like numbskulls. So that's the whole thing. You just get up and go to a different table. But they have a big enough advantage. As Doug Buffone said, he who gambles lives in shambles. And a fool and his money are soon parted. So thanks, guys.
Good stuff, Ed. Thank you.
I will allow me to retort. You can't have two blackjacks in one hand unless you split those tens.
Boom. That's math.
You guys remind me of someone that we talk about often on this show who resides here in Chicago when it comes to blackjack. I'll tell you who that is next. And we're into our top 10 of all-time great bowls. We'll tell you who's number 8 next. The 2 o'clock hour of Waddle and Sylvie is brought to you by your Chicagoland Acura dealers. Test drive the 2020 Acura RDX with available super handling all-wheel drive today. Learn more at ChicagoAcuraDealers.com.
Waddle and Sylvie weekdays, 2 to 6.
Follow on Twitter at Waddle and Sylvie and at TWaddle87. ESPN 1000.
Chicago's home for sports.
Metal Mania.
I feel like Neller and more so Abdallah probably. I don't know if Neller's doing it as a bit. Splitting tens on the blackjack table. Waddle and I totally gave, like, we couldn't believe thumbs what down. They were saying. Thumbs down. They're all in because they love to, quote, gamble. You guys are the Jim Boylan of the blackjack table.
Whoa.
It's as easy as that.
Offense taken. First of all.
I'm not. You know?
That's what you're doing.
That's calling timeout down 10 with 12 seconds to go.
No,
That's a good analogy.
It's not because
everyone in the building wants to do physical harm to you. I think it's a great analogy.
I don't do it with other people in the building. I just do it when I'm at a table, maybe a couple friends. I'm not doing it with Joe Schmo and Bill whatever sitting next to me. I'm doing it with my buddies Chris Black, Nick Friedel. You guys cool if I split these? Is everybody cool if I split these? Yeah, you can go ahead. All right, cool. Split these tens. Give me two 21s. Cash those checks.
Screw that. This is not a community game. Or I'm sorry, blackjack. If you're playing with a group, it's a community game. And everybody who wants to be out there and doing math, what you can't account for is the person who's at your table not doing math. So if you want to go ahead and split those tens and make more money, the only way you're going to do it is by splitting them.
The person I feel is the most analytical guy on the show.
You're not using your best odds to win.
He's also the one that when we made the soccer parlay today and we put in money, he goes, can I put in double that money for myself? And I was
Did you put in double the money?
Yeah, he did. The most boring person at the table is the one that's like, hey, what does the book say? You know what the book says? Go back home. Don't come to Vegas.
Don't you want the guys your table playing by the book?
No, I want gamblers. I go to Vegas to gamble. I go to a casino to gamble.
You heard Al Michaels tell you the crap story the other day on Friday.
I guarantee you that Al Michaels would absolutely berate you for your approach.
If Mark is upstairs, we need him to email Al Michaels. And ask him
if he splits
his
tens.
Philosophy on splitting tens, just in a nutshell, and we'll read that on the air. I bet you he rips you guys.
Al Michaels,
I'm fine.
Wait. Al Michaels believes in miracles. He's totally cool with splitting tens.
That's a good point. Well said.
All right, let's get to the. We're inside the Bulls' top 10 all time. You'll have your chance here in about 4 or 5 minutes to win a $50 gift card from Great Clips.
Shot on Elo. Good! The Bulls win it!
Derrick Rose!
Oh, a spectacular by Michael Jordan!
Bam!
Kaboom!
Yes! Big time on you!
Oh, guys!
The Bulls do what no team has done before. History here in Milwaukee.
Presented by Great Clips. On
countdown continues. Number 8.
Dennis Rodman, who's been quiet the last two games, has certainly had an impact here tonight. And here's Pippen leading the 3-on-2 as they spread the floor. Pippen for Rodman on the run.
Well, Dennis Rodman doing what he does best, work on the offensive glass. Nobody gets a body on him. Frank Kapowski loses him right on the doorstep. Dennis Rodman finishing one off. And then you get the rare 3-on-2 fast break that you don't normally see. You see 3-on-1s, 2-on-1s, and Scottie Pippen making the nice play to Dennis Rodman.
Matt, I think that Dennis Rodman works the crowd better than he works the offensive board.
I'll tell you what, Waddle. I miss that roar. Did you hear that roar?
Yeah, that was pretty special.
I miss that roar on the west side at the United Center. This is what I said to Carm. There may be some people who disagree with me. So just to give you a little history on where we are at number 8, and you heard number 8 is Dennis Rodman. For instance, at number 15, I had Joakim Noah. At number 13, I had Lou Alding. Jimmy Butler came in at 12. Tony Kukoc, 11. Horace Grant, 10. Norm Van Leer was 9. I admittedly am biased when it comes to Dennis Rodman. He only played 3 years for the Bulls, but he was so vital to what they did, to the way he complemented the big two in Scottie and Michael. They needed a guy who could defend. They needed a guy who could rebound, especially after getting eliminated by the Orlando Magic the year before Rodman got to the Bulls, and that was the year Michael came back. They needed a rebounder. Remember Jason Williams with the Nets? There were rumors that they were going to acquire him.
Right.
And the talk was, which guy could they get? And sure enough, San Antonio wanted out of Dennis Rodman. So the Bulls made one of their best trades in their franchise history. They traded Will Perdue to San Antonio for Dennis Rodman. Rodman's a Hall of Famer. He played 3 years. They went 3-for-3 in winning titles. He brought the circus, yes, but he brought the rings as well. And he defended, and he was exactly what the Bulls needed at that time. So maybe you could argue that Dang is higher in this and this and this statistically, or there are guys who played longer. But to me, I've always argued a couple of things, is that Dennis Rodman should have his number retired. That number should hang from the rafters at the United Center. And I always admittedly put Rodman higher than most. Just because I covered those teams and I just saw what he meant. And they were able to get around the circus. You know what I mean? Like maybe more than 3 years. If that thing would have continued, if Michael and Scotty did come back for another year, maybe they could not have brought
Dennis
back.
Well, he was the ultimate role player. He did exactly what they needed. As you said, he played great defense. He averaged 15.3 rebounds per game.
Yes.
As a Bull.
And if you needed him to guard Shaq, he could guard Shaq. He didn't have to play Luke Long. Like, they were playing small ball before the NBA started playing small ball. They didn't need a center guarding a center. They would put Rodman in there, and he would guard a Shaq in the big series, the 2 years against the Jazz. Who would guard Karl Malone? It would be Rodman. And he would be a nuisance. Yeah. And sometimes he would get the occasional technical where you'd want to, Michael would have to restrain him and say, what are you doing, Dennis? You're taking away with what we're trying to do here. But in the big picture,
it was a perfect addition when they needed him.
Yes, yes. And it made the Bulls the Beatles too. Do you know what I mean?
Oh,
like,
yeah.
Like, not only did you have Michael and you had Scottie, a top 50 all-time player, you had Phil, but you had another show. You had another show.
It was crazy.
Yeah.
It was pure lunacy and greatness at the same time.
Do you remember what he did after the end of every home game? And maybe he did it.
Take his shirt off and throw it in the crowd.
He would give out a souvenir. He would give out his jersey every game.
I interviewed him in a, and I don't know if it was a wedding dress or just in another different dress at an event. For
it was the book, right?
I think so.
Because that's how he promoted the book. Is he showed up to the book signing in full red, in full drag, in a wedding dress?
Yes. Yeah, he was an entertainer for sure.
And then our famous...
Yeah, that got sideways quickly.
Yes. So Dennis Rodman comes in at number 8. You could tweet me what you think about that. Follow along on Instagram, by the way, at ESPN underscore Chicago. There is, you know, a caption about each of these players, and you can go back to see the entire top 20. Follow for all the great announcements on Instagram, ESPN underscore Chicago. Right now, let's give away a $50 gift card to Gray Clips. Gray Clips, salon quality hair care at down-to-earth prices. Go to GrayClips.com to find one of their over 150 Chicagoland locations. Download the online check-in app to avoid the wait. Gray Clips.
It's going to be great.
Yes. And maybe you could get a Dennis Rodman style haircut. Yeah,
I'm sure they'll do that if you're asked, if you ask nicely.
You may
have to bring a picture. To show them
people
what you want, yeah.
They used to change the hair on that Bixby Crothers wall, and it started a gaper's delay on the Kennedy. They had to take it down because people were staring at the billboard. So
crazy time.
Caller 20, you get that right now. All right. Don't forget, get your Would You Rathers in. Hashtag it on Twitter, WS Would You Rather. Make them fun, make them creative, make us think. We'll read the best ones at 4:30. We'll give away a gift card to Grand and Western Liquors. All right. We heard from Ryan Pace. Waddle believes that Matt Nagy was really good today, was really energetic, was really honest. Why did he make all these coaching changes? He had some splaining to do, and he did that. You'll hear that in 2 minutes.